Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation is a legend. Every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me is the greatest co-host in the galaxy, former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
Caitlin, what's going on?
Not much. I am super excited to talk to our guest today. Are you equally psyched?
I am. I have already talked to them.
You've seen into the future.
Well, you know, I was out. I was taking the Dooku out for a sail.
The Dooku?
That's what I've named it. Yes.
Oh, okay. This is
great. And and I was getting some meditation
in. Have to run that through PR.
No, we're good.
Okay.
and a holocall came through from someone we've been wanting to talk to for a long time, and I didn't mean to do it without you, but I knew you were doing your vibroblade exercises here on the ship, and you don't like to be disturbed when you're doing them.
You know what? This is fair. I can't even be mad about it.
So in the call, we've been wanting to talk to this person for a very long time. And as I said, they are rebels. They are directly rebels involved. It's hard to get more involved than this person. Padawans, some of them have already started guessing. None of them guessed it, though. And I let it go a day, and then I was just too excited, and I spilled it.
Oh, so you already told.
Yeah, I already told.
Oh, my God. I'm the last to know, as per usual.
Anyway, our guest is none other than General Hera Syndulla herself, Vanessa Marshall. Not only does she play Hera Syndulla, she also plays Jan Ors in the Old Republic games. She is a huge, huge fan of Star Wars in every way and generally just a bright, shining ray of positivity. And we had a great discussion while I was out there on the Dooku. So without further delay, we will begin. However, because we do discuss some things that we haven't talked about on the show yet. We talk about some things that happen in season 4 and then some things that happen towards the end of the series. We are going to sound the spoiler klaxon. Yes, keep sounding it. Keep going. Keep doing it more. More. It's been so long since I've heard it. Oh, it's so wonderful. If you are not caught up with Rebels or if you're watching it along with us for the first time, there are massive spoilers about the end of the series, things that you do not want spoiled. So by all means, please come back to this, but don't spoil yourself because there are spoilers aplenty. Spoilers aplenty. The spoiler klaxon one more time, please, just to be safe. Build the baby. And now, boot up the holo and punch it. On the holocom right now is a true legend. She can be heard in shows like Young Justice, Harley Quinn, Guardians of the Galaxy, Rick and Morty, Archer, Star Trek, Lower Decks, and so very much more. But to us, not only is she Jan Ors from the Old Republic and Rook cast from Season 7 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, she is our beloved Captain General, our warm light in the darkness, the great Hera Syndulla, not only on Star Wars Forces of Destiny, but naturally Star Wars Rebels. It is my extreme honor to say, Vanessa Marshall, welcome to Jabba the Pod.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is anytime. It is an open invitation.
Great.
This is no secret, but you are, even before you got involved in the Old Republic titles in video games, you were a huge Star Wars fan before you ever got involved.
Absolutely. Yes, I grew up as an only child, and my imagination often served as my best friend. And so I loved reading stories, telling stories in books and comic books and, you know, obviously in the space opera that is Star Wars. I just sort of fell in love with the hero's journey and all the strong female characters. And it just gave me a point of reference for the rest of my life. And just cannot believe that I was lucky enough to have anything to do with it creatively. I just feel so blessed. And one of the coolest things is meeting fellow Star Wars fans. I feel like I was nerding out in isolation, and I sort of came out into this wonderful world of the Star Wars fandom. And I feel like I have friends from everywhere for life, really. And that's also been one of the greatest gifts.
I mean, I identify a lot with that because I'm also an only child and spent many a time where I didn't know any other Star Wars fans for a while. And right. That was all when we were all hot for Heir to the Empire, for the sequel to that, for a book to come out. And then to say nothing of the vast bounty we have now. It's incredible. So when something goes from you're a fan of something, right? And then it becomes your job. How did that change your particular fandom, or did it?
Not really, because I think the Star Wars universe is so vast. And when I got to play Jan Ors, that was more an honor than anything else, but it didn't distract me from being a complete fangirl. And, you know, cut to doing Star Wars Rebels, the way the words were written on the page, the way they translated into a very vibrant scene between actors, and then what the animation team did with those words, those are all completely separate experiences. And they happen so far apart that by the time I was able to watch them on TV and live tweet with my friends, my family, my hashtag Star Wars family, I had zero recollection that I had even done any of it. I mean, I knew it sounded like me, but it's such another world when they put all the magical colors together and the music, Kevin Kiner's music, Thrawn's breathing, like nothing can prepare you for these things. And so even though I was involved on the inside as sort of aiding in the storytelling, I was still able to enjoy the story as I always had done with the huge saga, because it was just so magical and completely other than what it was like to simply read it out loud.
Yeah. And speaking of, you mentioned, you know, strong female characters in Star Wars. Now you're playing one of the strongest that we've ever met, and someone not only in Rebels, but directly connected to Clone Wars, which you probably had just watched. So that must have been amazing.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I can't even tell you from the first episode, like even, you know, because I know all these actors. I work with them in different cartoons and stuff like that. But nothing could prepare me for acting alongside them. You know what I mean? Like it was just, I had to pinch myself. It was insane. The first time I met Ashley, I wept. For me, that moment when she leaves the Jedi Order is forever etched in my soul.
Oh, yes.
That ending. And there was silence at the end of the episode. That was the only one. Nothing has landed on my heart like that. And so when I met her, I was just like a puddle of water and thanked her for her work. And she was like, what are you doing? And then she gave me a Hope t-shirt because she's so amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. Her first gesture is one of, you know, gifting me with something from her collection. I was like, it was just, it's too much. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And you guys all, I mean, Dave Filoni likes to record all of you together. So you really were your family on screen, but you really are off. And we've talked with some other actors that those dynamics really do mirror the dynamic on stage as it is on screen.
Yeah, very much so. And I've said before that our personalities reflected our characters. And I guess that was just great casting on Dave's part, because I'm sort of the mom of the crew, making sure everyone's fed and happy and no one has like resentments or there's no weird energy. There never was, really. But a lot of times people were hungry and I would go get them food. And I was just, that's just who I am. Like, what if you're hungry? You can't be hungry. That's not happening. It's just not. Yeah. You know, Freddie was always coaching Taylor much the same way. I mean, they really were like Jedi Padawan. You know, Taylor hadn't really done any voiceover before. And so he took him under his wing, and I loved watching the two of them together in real life. And I don't want to say T is a tomboy, but I kind of am. I love sports. I love football, hockey, boxing. I love martial arts. I love boxing. And T and I were always like, oh yeah, the New York Giants, blah, blah, blah. You know, we were duding it up in the corner. And you know, as perhaps two strong female chicks might do in real life. And everyone was just so generous of spirit, but also, you know, everyone made fun of everyone else. So we didn't take ourselves too seriously. Nothing was too precious and lovely. It was always like, yeah, 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 you know. And Steve Bloom was always cracking jokes and being like Zeb. So at the end of the day, we all really reflected our characters, which was cool.
Hera has this habit of doing something which I love. Whenever she gets really frustrated with a character, she calls them by her full name. Was there ever a moment on stage where you had to say something like, Stephen Bartholomew Bume, you take that back, or something like that ever happened?
I never did that, but I know like Dave would sometimes say, Stephen Bloom, Dave Filoni, he would say David Filoni, or, you know, they would do that among themselves. But I never really got mad at anyone. No one ever did anything. You know, like I said, we teased each other and were playful. But we kept each other in line, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody, a true friend really checks you and says like, yo, what are you doing?
And that's what they do on screen too, which is so great. I mean,
yeah.
we've been talking through a lot of Hera-centric episodes as we are rewatching the whole series. We've done Wings of the Master is obviously huge for Hera. There's Homecoming, Hera's Heroes. There's an interesting moment in Homecoming, and I believe I've heard you talk about this before, but I don't tire of you of hearing you talk about it, where you're talking with your father, Cham, and you slip into the French twang a little bit, as we hear most Twi'leks hear about. Now, was that planned, or was that something that you just did?
It wasn't really planned, per se. One time I got a random text from Dave Filoni, which does happen. And I'm my phone, I'm like, you know, it's Dave on my phone. He said, do you think Hera would ever speak in her native accent? And I wrote back, only if she's angry. And then we never talked about it again. And then when we did that scene, he said, do you remember my text? And I was, oh yeah. He's like, okay, let's do it again. So I was like, oh, that's right. You know, cause I have friends from the South, or, even friends from Australia or whatever, where they have Americanized themselves or sort of neutralized their accents. But then let that one uncle or that one aunt will call and bug them, and they'll just get right back in there and say, listen, y'all, you just can't even talk to me like that, or whatever it is. But it's sort of like the call of family overrides everything else. You know, like we just sometimes we get triggered and start speaking like we did when we were kids. And so we gave it a whirl. And that was one of, I don't know, 12 different takes. I didn't know what they were going to use. I never do. That's why I'm saying is that when I'm watching it, I'm going, oh, look what they did. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But it's a process. And Dave was always encouraging us to find it with him and try different things. And so that was a really cool day. And then when I did finally watch it, I thought, oh, that's so great that they did use that.
It's so perfect for the moment, because he's pulling so much, you know, shady stuff in that. And obviously you're at odds. You don't end that way, but it's perfect for that moment. Are there any Hera-centric episodes, or not even Hera-centric, but episodes in general that stand out to you as being favorites from the whole series? I know there's a lot.
Well, for Hera, I would say Wings of the Master.
Yeah.
I think Steve Melching did an amazing job writing that episode. As I've said before, my dad's a pilot, and I really dedicated that to him. He was a news reporter at KNBC here in Los Angeles for like 20 years and won Emmys and this and that. And then he finally retired, and I dared him to get a pilot's license. And not only did he get one, he went and got an open cockpit biplane and took me up in the air, and he cut the engine. And all I could hear was the wind going. I thought my dad died, to be honest. I was like, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to land this thing. Awesome. And I said, Dad, Dad, are you there? You know, we've got the ears on, like the Snoopy hat and the thing. Like we're like full barnstorming, you know. And all of a sudden, I hear him start laughing as because he cut the engine. We fall, we start falling, and we gain speed. And then suddenly, he just goes, "Row!" We do all these aerobatics. I am so grateful that I did not throw up. But after that, he explained the joy of flight to me. I mean, he in the moment showed it to me. But there's just something very special about people who yearn for the ability to go up above and gain perspective. And I feel that that's something that appealed to Hera. And in that monologue, to me, that's what I saw there. And I dedicated that to my dad, and he loved it. And so that had a special place in my heart. I would say two others, when Ahsoka finally sees Anakin, when his eye is revealed, that moment, it's up there, man. That was just, oh, it just took my breath away. So much came back in that 1 second. All of what we experienced in the Clone Wars, all of it. You know, what, from the first day he met her to that moment right there to see what he had become. Oh, nothing can compare to that. And then the final season, spoiler alert, when Kanan sacrifices himself, I was there. I knew in the recording, I'm saying, you know, it, for all intents and purposes, spoiler alert, I knew that Freddie was going to go, but nothing ever in the world could prepare me for just the vibrancy of those colors and the agony and the jubilation. Like, his eyes came back to normal in 1 second there. That to me, I just grabbed right a hold of me and like took me out of my chair. And again, it's like I was never there to begin with. And as a fan, I appreciated that hero stepped up to the plate in that moment, did the right thing, and gave it everything he had. And the only thing I can hope is that, like Qui-Gon, at the end of the day, that he's somewhere and can come back. And I guess we saw or heard him in Rise of Skywalker. So he's such a special character. I hope we get to see more of him.
That's so interesting. I mean, if he's going to appear to anybody, you know, it's got to be to Hera. And not only that, because there's, you know, another aspect to their relationship.
The son, yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm just going to get to this right now. I mean, that is Kanan's son.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason is Kanan's son. This is interesting because ever since reading A New Dawn, I shipped Kanan and Hera, even though I felt like he was a little more into her at first than she was into him. And then the first short I had already seen as well. And so I'm like, oh, I love these two together. And I felt like it was like, will they, won't they? They're obviously the mom and dad, and she calls him love all the time, but it didn't feel like they were together. Mm-hmm. And then they have their kiss. And everyone looks at it and is kind of shocked. And we're all, as Kanera shippers, waiting for this kiss.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm going to put this as delicately as I can. But then we find out, and again, we will have sounded our spoiler klaxon, so people won't be spoiled. We find out at the end that, you know, she has had a son with Kanan. And so that probably was not their first kiss. So I guess there's more to their relationship than we knew, certainly than the crew knew, and kind of, I guess, when that started or had that been going on the whole show and we just never saw it.
Well, after reading A New Dawn, I think she vetted him pretty severely. It's my feeling that something may have occurred at that point between mm-hmm. the two of them. But when Fulcrum, you know, sort of leads her along to form the entire rebel crew there. And, you know, the stakes get higher and higher with the Empire. She has no choice but to do her duty, which is way more important than any romance in her view.
Yeah. And they fight about that too.
Yeah. And I would say her journey is that she put that ahead of everything else. You know, you can see people do that a lot in life where, you know, we're taught to get straight A's, to, you know, endeavor to go to college, to get a good job, to da 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 da. But at the end of the day, if there's no joy in one's life, if there's no connection, no intimacy, it's hollow. And so I kind of feel like she came around to valuing that more by the end of the show. And unfortunately, it was too late.
Yeah.
And I think at the end, when we see her so lost, I think it's because she sort of tried to be a good girl, if you will, or a good soldier. And she thought she was doing the right thing, but she thought there would be more time. And I think often we all think like, well, I mean, I'll tell you, for me with the pandemic, there are people I was like, oh yeah, we'll go hang out. Oh yeah, we'll go hang out. I had every intention of seeing a ton of people. And I, you know, this came up, that came up. Nothing is guaranteed. We don't know. And I'm grateful that all of my, you know, a few people have gotten COVID, but I have learned from COVID, perhaps what Hera learned is that every moment is valuable. And it's really important to let people know what they mean to you because there are no guarantees. So I think she goes from being sort of a hardened military type of character to one whose heart softens and opens. And there's also strength in that. But I would say that that's kind of the arc of her journey. And now she'll have this son that is something that remains of him, and she can pour all that love into him. One would guess. I have no idea if that's going to happen in a comic book, a novel, or in my mind. Right. You know, I do hope that we find out where Ezra went. I'm dying to see what's going on with Sabine and Ahsoka. And would love to know what this kid's talents are and his abilities. Is he force sensitive? I have a million questions. Where are his Leku? I have no idea.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. It's like, are they under the green hair or what? And it's interesting you bring it up as only realizing what she had too late, because they do it in such a cruel way in that episode, and cruel in the way that it just hurts so good. As one of my co-hosts would say, and that she's drugged up for a lot of it and saying things, and she's so funny and saying things that the professional Hera would never say, and now just really admitting her feelings. And right as she does, that moment happens. And for me, so much of Star Wars is about sacrifice and selflessness. And are you willing to pay the cost? And Hera, based on what you just said or whatever, Hera is one of the foremost examples of in that tradition of Leia, and I think Ahsoka and everyone else. It doesn't matter what it takes or what personal things I have to lay aside. This has to get done. It's not about me.
Exactly.
The Hera has, you brought up Hera in books and comics. There's such an enduring legacy of Hera that's continued. She's been, I remember I was so excited when she popped up in Dr. Aphra, because I'm like, how are these two going to be together? It turns out they're phenomenal. She's popped up in books and everything else. How great has it been seeing this character that you gave birth to continue to have such a big presence?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm so blown away. Like when she, Rogue One? His name is called in the movie, I couldn't believe it. Now, I've told the story before, but David Collins, that was his voice. And he said, yeah, I call your character in the movie. I was like, yeah, that's right. And a bucket of chicken will get me to Brooklyn. Like, whatever, dude. I thought he was just putting me on or, you know, like, yeah, and I call your name, you know, but it turns out he did. And I'll never forget that. I'm in the Lucasfilm Friends and Family screening at, you know, the theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And I hear her paged and, you know, Chopper and what have you. Oh, my gosh. It was awesome. I actually, and I was watching that movie sitting next to my ex-husband. His name's Andrew Cascino. He plays Saw Gerrera. And, you know, of course, Saw Gerrera started in Clone Wars. And, you know, it was just so amazing to see that Forrest Whitaker was so wonderful as Saw Gerrera. You know, every time I see him, yeah, I went up to him at Celebration in Florida and I said, hey, you know, you did such a great job with Saw Gerrera 1. And Andrew Cascino is my ex-husband. And he said, oh, Andrew, how is he? Like he watched all of the episodes of Clone Wars. He really, and then, so I saw him again in Chicago and he said hi to me. Hey, how's Andrew doing? You know what I mean? Like, who does that? That guy's awesome.
Oh. You know,
but even more so. So fangirling out, yes, I heard Hera's name, but to see a character that Andrew originated in a cartoon translate to film And that was just awesome.
And then translate back to the series that you're on when he comes back by Forrest again. I still can't believe they did that. But then even one further, expect the ghost to show up in Rise of Skywalker?
No. There was a group of us. We were doing post-production voices on it. The little aliens in the desert, the little and then the Sith Lords, when Palpatine kind of serves it up hot and fresh. Welcome to your childhood. Like, well, what? So there was a good, and so we're all uber up in the Star Wars situation. So when we saw the ghost, all of us, this like collective, oops, sorry guys, I didn't mean to ruin the take.
And I mean, it's either Hera or Jason or both, and probably Chopper behind
no
that.
Clue. Yeah, that's the thing, is that it could be anything. I'm just happy to see that vehicle fighting the good fight,
Yeah. I have to also ask, recently it was such a treat to hear you briefly, but you popped up circling back around it away back in Clone Wars season 7 as Rook Cast.
Yes.
That was great. And the voice sounded familiar, but I couldn't place. I'm like, I know this. This sounds like something in me stirred. And then I saw it was you. I'm like, of course. Of course. It's like, because who else would they get? What was that experience like coming back to not Rebels, but the show that was before it, pretty much more Filoni in a way?
Yeah, that was completely insane. I think he knows what a Mando fan I am. Like, I'm 100% Mando for life. I just, the fact that there's a TV show called The Mandalorian, it is just, it's like a party every day. When I saw him, I said, Dave, now my life is complete. And he said, oh, I don't think you're done yet. And I don't think he was saying, like, I have ample employment with Lucasfilm, but I think he was hoping that I have more than playing a Mandalorian in a cartoon. But for me, I was like, mic drop.
Right.
Like, to be able to play a Mandalorian, I was like, oh, you must be joking, dude. Yeah, I freaked out. Now, I will say this parenthetically. I wanted to build a cosplay of Bo-Katan. I love Bo-Katan. So my instincts are more sort of on the side of maybe Jedi principles than Sith. And obviously, Rook Cast is rolling with Darth Maul. So, she's not exactly a light, fluffy comedy character.
No.
But it was really, really fun to dive into that. And of course, we wanted to differentiate her sound from Hera's. And so we went with the lower, deeper, richer British sound. My lord, what does it mean? So that was just delicious.
Oh, I just got chills. Okay. I mean, there's so much, there's more coming too. Even if there is, I know you probably can't tell me, but there's so much in terms of just animation with the Bad Batch series coming. There's potential. Rook Cast, I didn't see a body. She didn't die. There's more history there. Hera is still around in the Bad Batch period. I mean, I'm not even going to ask, so are they coming back? Because you couldn't tell me, but I guess, would you want to? I'm getting the feeling that you would want to.
I would come back even as a droid.
Yeah. it's foolish for me to even ask, but I mean, in terms of Hera in live action, if that ever happens, is that something you'd want to do? Is that something?
Well, it's funny. My mom is an actress. She was on Knott's Landing in Dallas for a million years. She actually was the voice of Spider-Woman back in the day, which
is wow,
pretty hilarious. And not hilarious, but it's just interesting that I've sort of come to do a lot of voiceover. She did a lot of on-camera stuff. But I'll just say this, growing up, watching her tremendous success, we would go out to dinner, people would come up to her and ask for her autograph. There was a certain measure of privacy sacrifice that I'm more of a loner, I guess, or I don't, I mean, yes, I'm very extroverted. I love to make people laugh and feel good. And I don't mind entertaining people, but some people act to be seen and some people act to hide. And I always love the invisibility of voiceover work more than the on-camera stuff. However, being able to act, I often would perform in plays in college, and I wrote the plays and this and that. I like being part of a collective. And in whatever way I can help tell that story, whether it's in front of the camera, behind the camera, producing it, helping to direct it, making artwork, doing the social media campaign, I'm all about it. So if they wanted to put me in front of a camera, I am able to do that. And of course, I would humbly offer myself to that process. And, you know, it would be amazing.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where that character, I mean, Hera is you and you are Hera. And it's the same thing that we're experiencing now with the Ahsoka rumors and how that character just is Ashley and Ashley is her. And it's so hard to divorce that. And so if they brought Hera into live action, it has to be you. It's as long as she's willing to put on the green makeup and the leku, I mean, I can't separate it. It probably sounds weird, but it just, it's either you or just don't do it.
I know that there are certain realities in the business of acting. And what I mean by that is I went to drama school. I have a master's in acting. I am 100% capable of fulfilling that task. However, when I moved back to Los Angeles after going to graduate school and discovered that you have to be a size zero, and what have you done lately, and how old are you? And, you know, there are sort of all these things that nowadays would be like, well, how many followers do you have? Well, what's the latest, on-camera thing that she's done? There are these questions that plague people who are investing money in something. And those are fair questions to ask. And they may perhaps want a commodity, if you will, that is more proven in that area. And I think that happens a lot. And, you know, perhaps there are people who are like, they get thrown in the mix only because there are 12 million other celebrities that are in the room, that you can have one newbie, if you will. And I wouldn't call myself a newbie, but to the extent that I'm not pursuing an on-camera acting career, newbie might be the kindest way to put it. So if they gave me a shot at an audition, I would knock it out of the park and go from there. But, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, again, if they hired someone else, I trust them implicitly and I would want them to tell the best story possible. And I know that they would make the right choice.
That's very selfless way to look at it. Like I imagine Hera would. I don't think I would be as gracious.
I'd be delighted to see what someone else would do. I'm grateful for what I've been able to do. I would love to do more. And if it stays at this level, I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
I'll end with this. We already touched on a little bit light of the pandemic and everything else going on in the country right now. I mean, it's no secret times are dark and these are, you know, people are lonely and things are rough. And Hera is such a spark of hope in Star Wars for her whole crew and everyone she meets. What advice, and this is a tough ask, but what advice do you think if someone, say, went and said, General Syndulla, I'm really struggling right now. What advice do you think Hera would give?
Well, I would give them the advice that I've been giving repeatedly to myself is I start the day with a gratitude list. And rather than focusing on everything that's wrong, I focus on what's right. And I remember how lucky I am to be alive and on and on. And then I get to work. I get to work trying to fix what is wrong. So I start with opening my heart to see all the gifts that I already have. And then I set about fixing what needs fixing. And wake up and do the same thing the next day.
Okay, well, it doesn't get better than that. And just, I know I said that was the last, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this. Do you have a favorite, trying to get more into the Star Wars geekery, because ending on a more geek-tastic note, favorite quote from the entire saga? Is there one that sticks out that you find yourself repeating to yourself?
So this is how democracy ends, with thunderous applause.
Oh, boy. Okay. Love it. Vanessa Marshall, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been a true honor. You are welcome back anytime.
Thanks so much. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
And we're out. How cool is she, Caitlin?
She's delightful. My God. I mean, like you said, she is just the biggest Star Wars fan. So it's always really nice to hear that the people who are involved with this series also just love it as much as the people who they're making it for.
Yeah. And we have some colleagues that have met her before.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew what a fan I was of her, and they say, oh, she's amazing. And you hear that she's, you know, such a nice person. You hear this time and time. So it wasn't exactly a surprise. But then when they actually, not only are they that cool, they're even, and this is just, I'm completely just, you know,
gushing over this. So
yeah, it's like, and she, it was, I tamped it down when we were actually doing the call, but it's just, it's really nice when they just, even better than expected. And I mean, at the end of the day, she's just a fan and she's just happy to be involved.
Just happy to be here, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, just like me.
Just like all of us, really.
I'm just happy to be here, everybody. Anything to add, Caitlin and Bush? Well, that's going to do it for the special bonus episode, but we'll be back on Friday the 28th for our regular show, continuing with Season 3 of Star Wars Rebels.
You're rebels, aren't you?
In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media if you so choose. Caitlin M. Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That's CAITLINM. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
And I can be found on Twitter at Cal Rezzi. No, we don't care. Leave, please. Only one interview per bonus. And I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. An extra special thank you to Vanessa Marshall for joining us today. Snoke 'em if you got 'em, take it Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way. We have spoken. The Force will be with you. Always be the spark.
This is Buster Bolger.